Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. Want to wish everyone a happy new year as we embark on 2022. We pray that you grow more intimately with Christ our Savior. We pray that your work and the things that you do for Jesus prosper, and it will when we do our part. So on today's episode, we wanted to continue our discussion on the historical Jesus, the historical Jesus. And on our previous show, we talked about how Jesus needs to be real in our lives because he is real. I know some of you all are saying to yourself, well, I already know he's real. I go to church. I sing the songs of praise. I'm in ministry. I'm involved with the church circle, and he's real in my life. He's real to me, and he should be. But yet, at times, because of circumstances, because of science, because of outside noises, some of us get distracted and we forget and we lose perspective on who Jesus really is. And Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is God. Jesus is also human in terms of the humanity that he put upon himself. But as we worship Jesus, it makes it even more important when we think about how he inserted himself into the annals of history. Think about it. Jesus, God the Son, inserted himself into the annals of history. God, the creator of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God thought enough about us to send us his very best. And that was Jesus the Christ. So if God sent Jesus, there ought to be some evidence. And we're not talking about having faith or not having faith. We're talking about the objective evidence that demonstrate that something happened in the annals of history. If a bomb blows up in a house, once the impact has occurred and investigators come to analyze what happened, there's going to be evidence that something happened in this house. And they're going to ultimately deduce that a bomb went off and that's what impacted this house. When you go to a beach and you see footprints in the sand, is an indication that someone has walked in this area of the beach and their imprint is there, leaves evidence that something happened. In the same way, there is a causal aspect to this topic of the historicity of Jesus Christ. God caused something to happen, and there is an effect. The effect is the footprint. The effect is the demolition of the house. If God came to humanity by sending his very best, his son, Jesus the Christ, there has to be some evidence. So this is why we're talking about this topic of the historical Jesus. Outside of the Bible, my argument is there is evidence for the historicity of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. outside of the scriptures, there's evidence for the historicity of Jesus Christ. Of course, we as Christians accept the Bible as infallible, meaning it is without error. Of course, we walk by faith, not by sight. But we also are rational beings. We are logical beings. God gave us the ability to think. This is why he challenges us to say, come, let us reason together. So objectively speaking, even outside of the Bible, we have extra biblical evidence to support our claim that Jesus came. And we started on our previous episode with our first evidentiary evidence. And that's Josephus. And Josephus, in his book, The Antiquities of the Jews, book 18, chapter 3, he writes the following. Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. So just Josephus is giving us a journalistic perspective regarding what was going on even at his day. Jesus lived, was crucified, and ascended before Josephus was born. But here's the thing. Josephus lived in close proximity to these events. So when Josephus was born in 37 A.D., this information was still whirling about. People were still talking about what just happened of just a few years earlier. You're talking about around 4 or 5 years earlier before Josephus was born. So he was born into this story. He was born into this event. Imagine being born in 2015 as an example. If you were born into 2015, you would have learned that something happened in 2011, where the Twin Towers were decimated. 2011, where terrorists hijacked a plane. You would have learned all these events because it was real, because it was close to in proximity to the events, because people were talking about it, because people were consumed with it, because lives were lost. If something happened in 2011, so if you were born in 2015, you would have been a part of this narrative. And that's what Josephus is doing. Josephus is not a Christian. Remember, he's a Jewish historian. He's Jewish by birth. He's Jewish by culture. And then he took on a Roman culture, but he's still a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. And he's writing the events that occurred shortly before he was born. And we learn from Josephus that there was a man called Jesus. There was a man that had followers. There was a man called Jesus who was crucified. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. And there was a man named Pilate. And Pilate was instrumental in Jesus being crucified. So when we read the Antiquities of Josephus, we learn about the historical Jesus. So my point is this. If you're listening to me, you're a Christian. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is not Santa Claus, as I said before. Jesus is not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's not Frosty the Snowman. Jesus is real. I really don't need, at this point in my walk, I don't need extra biblical sources to help to reaffirm the realness of Christ. I've been walking with him long enough to know that he's real. And it's a tangible realness. This is not fabricated. This is not a delusional. Jesus is real. And experientially, I know him for myself because of how he showed up in my life, because of how he's changed me, because of how through the Holy Spirit he talks to me. He's real. But for those that need this type of evidence, we have it. When Jesus came through the annals of time, through the annals of history, it's a demonstration that God the Son came to us. He came to us. This is not a fabricated story. It happened in real time. So if Jesus, God the Son, if everything the Bible says about Jesus is true, then we as humans, we have to deal with this reality. If God sent his Son, which he did, if Jesus is the Messiah, which he is, if Jesus performed all these miracles, which he did, if Jesus told us the gospel concerning God the Father, which he did, then we are left to either embrace it or reject it. And just know this, if what Jesus said is right, then we that believe, we're in good hands. But if what Jesus said is right, which it is, and you're not saved, then those that reject him will be without him for eternity. And yes, there's a place called hell. That's a whole nother episode. I know some contemporary preachers don't like to talk about hell, but hell exists. And the reason why I know hell exists is because Jesus is the one that talks about hell more than any other person in the scriptures. So it's important that we embrace the gift that God has given us, and that's his monogenous son, Jesus the Christ. His appearance into the annals of history should give all of us that are Christians hope. The next extra biblical source that I like to unpack is Cornelius Tacitus. He's an ancient Roman historian who lived from 55 AD to 120 AD. And again, these are all very close times in proximity to the events of Jesus and his life. And Jesus lived until AD 33. And the closer the stories are to the events, the more reliable that source is. So this is Tacitus, Cornelius Tacitus. He's an ancient Roman historian. He wrote the works, the Annals and the Histories. His writings document Nero, which the Bible talks about, Nero blaming Christians for the fire in Rome around 64 AD. So this is the context of Tacitus' writing. What we learn from Tacitus is that the Circus Maximus was caught on fire and it spread through the neighborhood for 6 days. He's talking about Rome. And the Circus Maximus, for those who may be asking, what is the Circus Maximus, was the great entertainment venue in ancient Rome, whereby they had chariot races and gladiator fights and reenactments of famous battles. So it was a great amphitheater, if you want to use a term. And the fire, which burned up the Circus Maximus, destroyed 3 out of the 14 districts or regions, if you want to use that term, of Rome, as well as it mostly destroyed about 7 districts of the 14, and the rest remained untouched. But Caesar Augustus, this is what we learned from Tacitus, Caesar Augustus had divided Rome into these 14 districts or region by 7 B.C. To help him manage his provinces. And we learn from Tacitus that Nero blamed Christians for the fire. It is from Tacitus that we learn so much about the governance of some of the Caesars of Rome. But in his work, The Annals, we learn something about Christianity. Tacitus writes the following. He says, but neither human effort nor the emperor's generosity nor the placating of the gods ended the scandalous belief that the fire had been ordered by a certain group. Therefore, to put down the rumor, Nero substituted as culprits and punished in the most unusual ways those hated for their shameful acts, whom the crowd called Christians. The founder of this name, Christ, had been executed in the reign of Tiberius by the procurator Pontius the Pilate. Suppressed for a time, the deadly superstition erupted again, not only in Judea, the origin of this evil, but also in the city Rome, where all things horrible and shameful from everywhere come together and become popular. So again, from Tacitus, he writes and chronologues the events in the first century. And we learn from him that the emperor tried his best to deal with the situation of the fire. And he needed someone to blame. So he blamed Christians. And we learn that those Christians followed someone called Christ, who had been executed by Pontius Pilate, meaning under Pilate's tenure, and that this group originated in Judea. So this is the second proof that there is a historical Jesus, that Jesus actually came into the annals of history to share the kingdom agenda and to give us an opportunity to know the will of God so we may have an established relationship. Humanity, once again, had a way to have a relationship with God the Father. The third extra-biblical source is Thallus, the historian who wrote in Koine Greek and who wrote about events in the Mediterranean area circa 52 AD. He writes about the darkness that occurred during the death of Christ. And we'll look at it in a few minutes. We learn about his skepticism in regards to the eclipse recorded in the Gospels, or the darkness event that the Bible talks about. So he had issues with that. He was a skeptic. Thallus was a skeptic. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So in Mark 15 and 33, it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then we see a different version or a different way of saying or talking about the same story in Luke 23 and 44. It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Luke captures an identical or reports in an identical manner to Mark. Then in Matthew 27, verse 51 through 53, we read this. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. So Matthew is giving us the additives, the other things that occurred that Mark and Luke don't specify. So back to Thallus, T-H-A-L-L-O-S. He wrote the following in his book called Histories. He says in the third book of his book History, Thallus called the darkness an eclipse of the sun, which seems to be wrong. This is what Thallus suggests, that it didn't happen. But Julius Africanus, who's also a writer, and he wrote A History of the World. He challenges this notion that the darkness did not happen. Julius claims Thallos' explanation of what occurred was wrong, where Thallos was trying to find a scientific explanation for the darkness. Julius Africanus said, no, Thallos, it did happen, and it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And because Thallos is looking at it purely scientifically, he rejects this notion that God caused the darkness that the Gospels talk about. But Julius Africanus, he challenges this notion. And Julius Africanus lived in the 2nd and 3rd century, so we're talking about 100 to 200 A.D. Again, it's not too far away from the events that occurred when Jesus was living. The next person I would like to introduce is Gaius Sutanus, 70 A.D. to 140 A.D. Gaius Sutanus. He's a Roman writer, secretary to Roman Emperor Hadrian, or he was, and his only extant writing is called The Lives of the Caesars. Lives of the Caesars. In the 5th chapter, or portion of his writing on Emperor Claudius, Suetonius records the emperor dealing with the Christians in Rome. Claudius, expelled the Christians from Rome, the Jews constantly making disturbance at the instigation of Christus. Since the Jews constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Christus, he expelled them from Rome. So again, Suetonius gives credence to this notion that many times in history, Roman leaders had issues with the Christians that lived in their region. And as a result, they made many times they made it difficult for the Christians because of the teachings of the Christians, because of the lifestyles of the Christians. But what's important about Suetonius's writing is that we learn again that there's a group of people called Christians who followed the Christ. Now, I know there's some skeptics out there who reject this belief that Suetonius was writing about Christ or writing about Christians because of the way that the name is spelled. He spelled it C-H-R-E-S-T-U-S. But if we had time, we would unpack the truthfulness of this writing and why it leans more to the argument that he is talking about Christ. So I pray that this episode has been edifying to you, that you'll be able to use it during your Bible study or while you're witnessing to those that are not Christians. I pray that everything you learn from the Sound Reasoning Radio Show helps your ministry, and that ministry is being a light for Jesus and sharing the gospel so that others may have a chance to accept the Christ that we worship. Thank you so much for listening, and we thank you all for your prayers. And we pray as we start the new year that you would consider becoming a financial supporter of the Sound Reasoning Radio Show. Please be a blessing to kingdom building by giving towards Sound Reasoning Radio Show. You can go online, or you can give your donation, write it out to Sound Reasoning, P.O. Box 582-306, Elk Grove, California, 95758. And please remember to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. Jesus is worthy of all our praises. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent, Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.